I'm not hungry for the truth. I'm your detective.
And I'm your doctor.
Welcome to the show. So today we're going to be talking about alien encounters. Very exciting topic. I was going to do the show on multidimensional perceptual universe theories, but at the last minute yesterday, as we were starting to think of a show topic, I got a message on a Facebook post from a friend who was talking about her this spectacular alien encounter story in Canada, and she's coming on the show with her partner of the time who experienced this together. And I thought, well, this would be a great topic. This is Hungry for the Truth and alien abduction and alien encounters and close encounters, whichever term you want to give that, is certainly part of the unknown and part of what we would cover on this show. And I thought, well, this is certainly opportune, so why not go right into it? Of course, we're accepting callers as well. Call-ins, if you want to call into BBS Radio Studio on the main page on Radio Station 1, bbsradio.com. Please feel free. I don't know if we'll be able to get to you, but you can certainly try. We'll see how the show goes. So, what do we have to say about alien encounters starting out here?
Well, it's a huge topic, and it's a very controversial one. That's what I like to say, very controversial.
For sure.
I mean, it's something that has been in the news, especially in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I guess everyone has their own theory about it. Where does one start? I mean, how do you define aliens? Well,
extraterrestrial. There's also we know there's terrestrial aliens, and there are extra-dimensional aliens. There's all sorts of other life forms in the universe in general.
Well, I mean, it would be, speaking as a scientist, it would be unscientific to think that there wouldn't be aliens on other planets. When you think about it, there are trillions of planets in the Milky Way alone, and there are lots of worlds that have water in them. And of course, you need water for life.
Or do you?
Well, at least for the
as far as we know.
At least for the life that we know.
That's right.
Our solar system alone has about 7 areas that could hold life. Some of these are planets. There is liquid under the surface of Mars, certainly in Europa, which is a moon of Jupiter. There is some water apparently on Venus. And there are several other places, at least 7 places that we know of in our solar system that may be able to hold life.
So we're probably talking about, at the moment, about humanoid organic life forms like ourselves that would require organic nutrients and water
That's
to survive.
Right.
And they'd be physical beings on other planets in our solar system or beyond.
I mean, we know that life on our planet evolved fairly quickly. If you look in the sort of context of billions of years, they say our Earth is 5.4 billion years old, and that the earliest evidence of life form is 3.4 billion years, which in the scheme of things is a fairly quick evolution, which would make a scientist think that if life evolved fairly quickly, it is likely to have evolved on other planets as well.
Right.
We also have evidence that life tends to thrive in extreme environments. SETI, the non-profit organization that explores and tries to understand the origins of the nature of the universe and has many scientists working for them, have we know that they obtained some unusual signal in 1977, which can't be explained and really wowed a lot of astronomers. So that's extra evidence for the fact that there might be something out there. We know that there is historical evidence. We know that in a lot of medieval paintings, if you look at them closely, and I've actually seen this myself, you can actually see what looks like a flying saucer.
Right.
In the Aboriginal paintings, you can actually see unusual-looking figures that look a bit like
elongated heads and
large eyes, which are sort of typical of the grey-like aliens that have, you know, grey-like bodies, very large eyes, rather amorphic sort of, non-sexual bodies.
In general, when we're talking about physical extraterrestrial beings, we're generally kind of talking about the greys, I think, or they're called Zetas or Zeta Reticuli.
And there's lots
close
of
encounters.
There's
ET.
Lots of other ones. There's reptilians.
Sure. Squids, all sorts of things. There's all sorts of reports of all kinds of alien life forms.
That's right.
Yeah, I guess, but I guess in general, when we think of aliens, we're thinking of those gray aliens with the big eyes and the elongated heads, the thin bodies, etc. You know, the Close Encounters of the Third Kind and ETs.
That's right. Well, we know that a lot of people do believe in them. One recent study had that about 3.7, half of Americans apparently believe in the existence of aliens, and 3.7 million Americans believe that they may have been abducted.
Now, wow, that's large number.
That's a lot of people. Mm. When you think about this whole phenomena, I guess maybe started off with a crash landing at Roswell. The Roswell incident was a very well-publicized incident, which occurred in 1947, where apparently a flying saucer crashed near the township of Roswell. And there's a lot of controversy about that. A lot of people actually saw this. However, the official story was that it was from the U.S. Army, it was a weather balloon.
Mm. Now, that's a very convenient explanation that's been used, and sometimes that may be true, but I'm not sure that it's always true. There certainly are cover-ups, and there are certainly government cover-ups, as there are, and I can say that as an investigator, I've seen them. I'm not saying every situation is a cover-up, and
but I think you know, it's important that we look at this scientifically, but being scientific means having an open mind. Mm. And what we have to be careful of is that there is a cultural paradigm, which is the accepted cultural paradigm, and we are therefore limited within our cultural paradigm. And a true scientist will actually look outside the paradigm if there is enough evidence for it. Now, my ex-husband used to go along to the UFO Research Society in Sydney years ago. And we've looked through and read lots of books on this. And I can tell you, around the Roswell incident and other incidents of, you know, people seeing UFOs or having some abductions, there's a lot of solid evidence of people that come across as being very rational.
Genuine.
With, you know, and their histories are easy to follow. There's, you know, there's objective evidence for certain things. For example, you know, burnt areas on the land, on the grass, where people have observed, you know, UFOs the day beforehand. We know that a lot of people associated with the US Army and Air Force have actually come forward over the years to actually state that they were approached by government officials and other men in black, so to speak,
right,
and clearly told not to report this incident or they and their families could be killed. And over the last, I guess, 10, 20 years, these people have come forward and stated that.
Mm. Now, we had one of your friend's fathers, who's a retired police prosecutor, who was also in the Australian, the RAAF, the Air Force, talk about how he had an alien encounter. I think it was on radar or something, and it actually became publicized. And, you know, they were told basically to keep it quiet. He doesn't exactly know what happened.
Well, he observed a UFO.
Right.
That's right.
But look, I think the first thing I would say is, as an investigator, I would say we all have our personal opinions. And I would say I am, in fact, biased. And I do, in fact, believe that aliens probably do exist. And I certainly believe that spirits exist. Nonetheless, an investigator, if I were going to take this seriously, if I had a case and I were going to go in X-Files style and investigate a case of a UFO alien abduction, I'd approach it as with an unbiased and neutral attitude and standpoint, and push, you know, just acknowledge that I am in fact biased, set that aside, and try to be as objective as possible, and just go in and gather and collect evidence and interview the people without putting my opinions into the reports and use quotes and go in and collect evidence and preserve the evidence and do it the way you would if you were investigating a crime scene, and just present the report and the conclusions that you found as you would in any kind of court case. That would be the way to do it, and use experts if you can, you know, and pull it all together and try to come up with some kind of reasonable explanation. And, you know, as an investigator, if someone presents me with a rational explanation for something, and they can in fact prove that it was a weather balloon, then so be it. You can't argue against that if it's solid evidence. But when there is no solid evidence, or reason to believe that there is a rational explanation, you can't find one at all, then you keep an open mind and you try to find some answer, or at least you come up with the facts and you leave it at that, and you say, this is what we found, and we may not even have a conclusion that provides us with a valid answer.
Certainly, it's interesting that, so first of all, we have those people that have seen UFOs, and then we have those people that have actually report having had an alien abduction. And that's really interesting. Really interesting for me as a psychiatrist, because on the one hand, I approach this with a scientific explanation and with knowledge about psychological processes in people. On the other hand, I'm very open-minded. And as a therapist, I think it's very important to, to be able to honor a person's experience rather than assume that this is made up and nonsense. Now, when you look at alien abduction experiences, it's interesting that they have certain phenomena in common. Most of them involved what appears to be removal from a location and an altered state of awareness of the individual, which purportedly is for the purpose of physical, surgical, psychological procedures. And very often people might have no recollection of this initially, and then the memories might come back either spontaneously or through regression techniques. Certainly, apart from the experience of possibly being examined, some people apparently get tours of the UFO. They end up communicating with aliens. And it does appear that there are some aliens that are quite sort of nasty and, devoid of feelings. And many people have nightmares and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder experiences afterwards. However, with some aliens, they appear to be more gentle, more empathic, and they seem to impart their concern that the earth is being destroyed and their desire to, I guess, touch the people they have abducted, and perhaps allow those people to have a heightened concern about what is happening in our planet.
Some people have
So
a spiritual experience as
that's
well.
right. That's
As our
right.
we have a call-ins from Canada that are going to be telling their story
Right.
about that, which is really intriguing.
As someone who deals with human psychology and therapy and mental health, it's interesting. Some of the arguments about alien abduction, and may I just say that, not all alien abduction might be true abduction. I mean, we're talking about a whole phenomena here,
Right, absolutely.
and there could be copycat phenomena as well. Some people might be have a tendency towards dissociation, which is, when your consciousness can seemingly change and your personality might seem to change as well temporarily. Some people who've been sexually abused in the past may have a susceptibility towards these experiences, and certainly some of the evidence suggests that people who claim to have alien abduction may also have a heightened frequency of in their past of having some sort of abusive experience, and may have a personality which may have a vivid imagination, may be susceptible to hypnosis. Having said that, those people that are hypnotically susceptible quite often are very intelligent people. So
Absolutely.
they're often sleep paralysis is something which is frequently a phenomenon that they suffer from, and that can be a very frightening phenomena where you could be awake but your body will be asleep and you actually can't move your body. And the question is whether that is as a result of some alien doing that or whether that's their own susceptibility in their own body. And they might have both. They might have had an alien experience as well as other experiences where they wake up and they cannot move while their consciousness is there, they're alert,
right?
Which is something that some people have a tendency towards. Very frightening.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine. I haven't had an experience like this personally. I've had certainly had paranormal experiences with what seemed to be spirits. Maybe they were extra dimensional aliens. I don't know. But in any case.
Certainly, though, there was a well-known professor, a Harvard psychiatrist called Professor John Mack, and he really put himself out on the line. He had a whole lot of patients who had these experiences, and he wanted to study them in a scientific way. And he actually wrote a book called Abduction: Human Encounters with Aliens, and then a second book, Passport to the Cosmos: Human Transformation and Alien Encounters. And he was trying, he attempted to be scientific about this, but it seemed to find that there was a lot of evidence which could not really be refuted just because of, people's, he found that these people were not delusional, they were not hallucinating, they did not have, or many of them did not have any significant personality disorder.
Right.
So that was quite sort of important in setting a certain benchmark for scientific study of this. Certainly in Australia, we have a very interesting case which was written up in a book called Hair of the Alien by Bill Chalker, who is a researcher. And that was a case of Peter Khoury. This is a case where This was in 1992. At that time, 28-year-old Peter Khoury had a very unusual experience where he was woken by two females, both striking and unearthly and naked, nearly on his bed. And he believed there was a physical assault that occurred on him, which was quite a sexualized, the alien seemed to throw herself at him, and he actually struck back and, as it was, bit off her nipple. And he later on found on his body the hair, very white hair, wrapped around his private part. Now, that was analysed. They had a DNA, forensic DNA analysis, and it was found that the DNA in it was very unusual, very, very unusual, and only existed in some very particular humans in part of China. So that's a very interesting phenomenon. It certainly shows, it's the only, I guess, evidence I have heard about with an actual alien encounter where there's physical evidence of this. Really interesting.
Fascinating.
So look, we're going to ask my daughter to come in to discuss her alien experience.
Okay, and then we have a couple of guests, or should I say call-ins online, that are going to be talking about their exciting alien abduction story, or alien encounter story. I've already heard this story, which is why we decided to do this show. So here we go. We've got Alexia with us to tell us about her experience with Grays. Hello, Alexia.
Hey, everyone. How are you all doing?
Great. We're having a great time
Excuse
here talking
my
about
voice.
Aliens.
I'm a bit sick today, but I would love to tell my story about my experience with the extraterrestrials that I encountered.
Thank you very much. Where's a good place to start?
Okay. Let me just start at the very beginning.
That's a good place to start.
So my experience happened 4 years ago when I was 16 years old. It happened mid-dream. So I was in my own apartment on the beach at this point, and I did live in a apartment that was close to a cliff, and this was late at night. I was dreaming, and then I had a lucid dream, and I dreamt that I was walking across the golf course to the edge of the cliff, and suddenly all of these pods, that's all I can describe them as, all of these pods came down. They were red pods, sort of like tiered, they were like teardrop shaped UFOs. And I think if I recall, they were red. And then I got a message to go into the shed that was in the golf course. So I walked to the shed, and as soon as I walked into the shed, I woke up. And as soon as I woke up, I felt the energy in the room was really, really off. I looked at my phone, and it was 3 a.m. exactly, 3 a.m. on the dot. I woke up, and it was like the energy in the room, the density of the air and space was like fluctuating in density, if that makes sense. I'm trying to describe this the best I can, because when you have esoteric experiences, it's really hard to put them into words and explain them in the English language. But I'll do my best. So I was in my bed at this time, and I felt like from the space, from the empty matter, the air in the room, there were like the particles, like the air particles were getting denser in certain formations around my bed, almost as if these entities were standing and surrounding my bed. And I began to realize that is exactly what was happening, is that I was surrounded by a cluster of like extraterrestrials. And it was really frightening at this point, because it was one of the first visual esoteric experiences that I had. And so I turned the light on, because that's what I thought the best thing to do was. I turned the light on, and I pretty much told them that I wasn't okay with the fact that they were here, the fact that they were invading my space, my astral body, my my dreams, my space. I wasn't happy with them being in my field. And so I was really frightened at this point as well, because bear in mind, I was only 16 years old. So I went to the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea to calm myself down. And as I looked out the window, I can just explain it like this. The air particles got so dense in a certain formation in front of me that they began to form the physical body of a grey. So this figure was neither masculine nor feminine. It was quite androgynous. It was maybe about 4 foot tall. Its head was only just poking out of the window, so I could only see its head. It was grey, and it had deep sockets for eyes. And as this like being started to form in front of me, I pretty much screamed at it, and I told it to leave, and it did. And that's about the extent of my experience. I do feel like I was in my power, and when you do tell these beings to leave with the strength and the force of knowing who you are and your own power, they will listen. And so, yeah, that's about the extent of my experience. After that, I just ran into my room, and I think I started crying and called my mother.
I remember we came to get you.
To my rescue,
it was about 2 in the morning.
It was like 3 in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating experience. Wow.
Thanks for sharing.
And I was completely sober as well, like this, obviously.
Right. Mm. You probably frightened the daylights out of the...
I mean, hopefully, yeah.
And it's interesting that, this is a very important point, because a lot of people are quite traumatized, and to actually be in your power and knowing that if you tell them to leave, that may work.
Oh, it will work. You have to know where you stand. You have to know that you are the supreme being, and this is your reality, and that when you are faced with these entities, whether they be demons or angels or aliens or monsters or whatever, you need to know that you do have the power to tell them to stay or tell them to leave.
And just from a scientific point of view, I'd like to ask you, did you believe in aliens before? Were you interested in aliens?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's Yeah, of course. I knew of their existence. I knew of their existence. It was always like a peak of it piqued my curiosity.
Were you preoccupied with reading about them?
Not at all. No, not at all. It was a very odd experience.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It was a very odd experience. Yeah.
I mean, it sounded a little bit dreamlike at first. I mean, but it wasn't. But you were awake. I mean, you were drinking coffee in the kitchen. It wasn't an astral body experience.
It went from a lucid dream to me waking up to me seeing these beings, to me, I was fully awake when this stuff was happening
you
to
could,
me.
You could feel the cup and you know, waking, complete waking state.
I boiled
state.
The kettle and I turned on the light and it was complete, I was in physicality. I was here, I was like as clear as I'm talking to you right now.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Thank you, Alexia.
Very welcome.
I remember you came up with a funny quote once. You said, "I hope aliens believe in me." That's great. Right.
Great. Yeah, well, quite a phenomena. I bet you heard that you can get alien insurance in America. but you know, certainly a lot of people have experienced this. Now we have another guest who would like to also talk about their experience.
Yes, we do. And I believe they're on the line now, and I'd like to ask our producer, Dawn, to bring them on.
Hi, it's Yvonne here. Hi.
Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, it's Mark.
Hello, Yvonne.
Thanks for calling. Hi, and you have Mark with you as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Mark. Oh, fantastic. So I got your story yesterday. Very exciting. And that's, like I said, that's what prompted us to do this show on alien encounters. So you've got an incredible story to tell. I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
Yes. Well, it was an incredible experience. And just a little history is that Mark and I, who are online right now, we were together. We were husband and wife and coming home from a friend's house. It was late at night, somewhere just around 11 o'clock outside
of
Nelson, D.C. This was 11 years ago now. So it would have been 2008. And so we were coming home outside of Nelson, D.C. On a road that we had traveled many, 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 many times. And for me, what happened to me is I thought I had lost my mind because I suddenly came to from I don't know where or what, and I have no memory of driving on the road. All I remember is I came to sitting in my vehicle, and I had my hands folded on my lap in a strange way that I don't ever sit to begin with. My hands were cupped facing palms up, and my feet were flat on the floor, and all I could see was my hands. Everything else was just complete blackness, and I had no conscious thought, but somehow I had questioned or the mind had questioned, and as this happened, I became aware that I was human. These were my hands. I was in a vehicle. I looked over and things started to appear to me more. I could see Mark. I questioned he was a human. Everything happened so fast. I returned to normal understanding that I was human in a vehicle traveling from my friend's house. And I dismissed it that day. I was so freaked out by the incident, I was afraid to tell anyone. And I swore I would never tell anyone. That's how I felt. I was afraid of what had just happened to me. I thought something outside of myself had happened to me or something inside of myself. I wasn't sure. But so I didn't say anything. And then the next night, Mark was a bit nervous and anxious. And I obviously sensed this. We had been together for 10 years. And I asked him, what's bothering you? Like you seem... And he said to me in a calm, strange voice, he said, Yvonne, remember when we were coming home from Lou's last night? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, something strange happened to me. And I said, I interrupted him. And I'm like, wait, let me guess. You were abducted by aliens. And when you came back, you didn't know who you were, what you were, or where you were. And Mark screamed and like kind of jumped back and screamed. He's like, Yvonne, how did you know that? And I'm like, no, Mark. Oh, my God, that's what happened to me. Like, it was so shocking at that moment, both of us. We were just shaking and knew something outside of ourselves had happened. And I'll let Mark explain his experience.
It was really neat because when it happened to me, like she said, you know, you just think you're going crazy kind of thing. And it was fully like a re-entering of my consciousness. It was almost like I came into my consciousness just like if you're... it was like there was a mask that was closing in on my face, and that was the back of my face, and I could see that before I fully regained consciousness. And then, yeah, I went through the exact same thing that Yvonne did, like first having to realize that I was human, that I was driving a car. Like, the whole thing took about 30 seconds to really grasp and then be like, okay, well, that was fucked, or that was messed up. Like, yeah, it was a very bizarre experience because we have no memory of anything other than the re-entering of the consciousness. So I don't even know for certain that it was aliens, like whether it was aliens or being taken in the spirit or something.
Right.
The experience really told me in my life that the greatest lesson I've taken from it is just that there is so much more out there than what we can see.
Right.
And whether I know what it is or not,
I agree,
it's still knowing that it's out there.
Yvonne, did you lose any time?
Yeah, because this happened in about a span of, 10 seconds to 30 seconds. We had a lot happen in just less than a minute. Wow.
Like I said, yeah, for me, the experience was so overwhelming, I didn't notice time at all. All I know is that it was around 11, and that's from a long memory of 11 years that we left Luz around this time, and it takes this long to get here. We had to cross a ferry, So for me, I know it was somewhere around 11, but I never thought to document the time or never noticed the time before. So, no, I don't know how long any of this took.
Okay. And for me also, all right, because I know that a lot of abductees, end up with, believe that they can't account for several hours at a time. It sounds like that wasn't the case for you. What about actual memories of what happened? It sounds like things are still quite indistinct for you.
I have no memory whatsoever.
Not anything whatsoever, except returning from the darkness into my body and into this realm again. No recollection.
So it's like you lost consciousness.
And wish I could remember. I so wish I could remember. Mm. Yeah.
I would have thought I was just gapping out or something, but it drove me nuts. And then the next day I had to talk to Yvonne about it. And when she described the exact same thing that I experienced, it was amazing.
That's really incredible that you can have two people that had the same experience like that. That supporting witness.
Oh, absolutely.
Is really useful.
Absolutely. Mm. What makes you and Yvonne and Mark, what makes you think that what you had was an alien experience as opposed to, for example, a spiritual experience that had nothing to do with other beings?
I don't feel like it was specifically an alien experience over the spiritual experience. It could have been either. And I would like to know, but I believe in both. So to me, it doesn't really matter. The fact is that it is out there and the universe unfolds in the perfect way. And when I'm ready, I'll know more.
And for me,
your story is very—it's very difficult to know.
Yeah, it is. And for me, I felt I felt that it could have been an alien, if we want to call it alien. Like I believe that I'm open to the possibility that we could be alien, that we don't know that, and that we could also be alien spiritual beings. And I felt when I came back, I'm not afraid of what happened. I didn't feel harmed. I didn't feel violated. But I felt that I had a right to know, that I felt like that I had a right to know that I was a strong-minded person and was ready to know. I've had spiritual experiences on incredible levels, and I felt this was different somehow, much different.
Right.
Because I had no recollection.
The story is just incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is.
From my point of view, when we use the word alien, that's a, I mean, when we, like I said, when we think of aliens in general, when people talk about it, we're thinking of a physical humanoid being like the typical grays that we hear about. But an alien could be almost anything. And I tend to think of aliens as they could be terrestrial. Sometimes we in the spiritual community, people talk about reptilians. And reptilians, from my understanding, would be terrestrial beings like us, in that they are not really human, but they live on this planet, if the story is true. I also believe that aliens can be non-physical or less physical than us, less dense than us, and they can be on other planets. They could be on this planet. They could be extra-dimensional aliens that are similar to extra-dimensional spirits. So it's tough to really differentiate when we're using the term alien, where they come from, or, you know, it's not always clear.
No, certainly
that's
not.
That's right.
And Yvonne and Mark, did you have any unusual physical markings on you?
I didn't.
Well, we did. I do remember checking to see if we had been marked in any way, and we came to the conclusion that we didn't think so. You know, you can always look at your body and you don't remember that pimple there, or you know, but there was no conclusion. I was diagnosed with a rare cancer shortly after that. That's been dealt with and is all okay. But I don't know if that has anything to do with it. And otherwise, sure. I feel completely normal as I had before.
And so as a consequence of this,
a real blessing.
Yeah.
As a consequence of this happening, what effect do you think it's had on your lives?
Oh, well, it's definitely shown me that there's so much of something so much bigger than us, such mysteries. It's confirmed to me that, you know, when I hear a mystery on the Discovery Channel or something, I am more apt to be open to believing other people's stories, and it's brought me to a deeper awareness of the possibility of aliens, and really it's opened me up to wanting to know more for them to come back. I want them to come back. Really, I would love the experience. I'd love to remember it this time and to know. Of course, don't we all want to know that mystery, you know? I want to know why it happened to Mark and I. Why did it happen to Mark and I? Why were we allowed to go together?
Yeah, it does happen to a lot of people. You get a lot of reports of these types of events and alien abductions, but nonetheless, I mean, they're still, these are, you know, they're always unique, and they're very, I don't know what the word is, memorable. I mean, it's not that common. Let's put it that way. To have
something it'll never be forgotten.
Like this has happened to both of you.
Yeah. It's not that common, but it's also not that uncommon.
Right.
You know, as I said, 3.7 million Americans apparently have had that experience.
Right.
And certainly the way you've been describing it, it's...
That's a huge experience. That's not common at all.
The fact that it's happened together. And it somehow seems to have made you more open-minded. And it sounds like you had quite a significant change in your consciousness, and it's opened you up in ways that nothing else has.
I did have I was very open to the possibility of the existence of other life forms in spirit or in the physical, whether it be aliens or spirits that have passed. But this was definitely confirmation that there's something greater, but it wasn't necessarily confirmation of what.
It was
maybe being open to it, you know, maybe when we say, well, I'm open to it, or I'm biased towards, you know, the belief in aliens, maybe that does attract them to us. Maybe it doesn't. I mean, I think skeptics could use that as a reason for saying, well, you believed in them beforehand, and therefore it would have happened anyhow, you know, because you'd create it in your mind. I don't know that that's true. You can use that any way you want.
From the accounts that I have read, there are a lot of people out there that had no belief in aliens beforehand.
Right.
And certainly it can be quite both traumatic and quite freeing to be, to have your worldview confronted and to have your consciousness suddenly, you know, opened up in such a way.
I've had incredible out-of-body experiences, and it was one I've talked about this on in the past, where I had an experience with my ex partner, where a being showed up in our bedroom at night. It was a shadowy being, and later on someone told me about shadow people. And this was when we were wide awake. This was very clear. My partner almost bumped into it, and I could see it very clearly walking through the doorway from our bedroom into the other room. So, you know, it wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a spirit. It wasn't a quite an alien. I don't know how to define it or where it came from, but it certainly, and it was great that I had a corroborating witness as well, but it certainly, what you said, it just opens up your mind to the fact that there is more out there than we could ever imagine. There's more to the story, and I could approach everything with an investigative mindset if I wanted to, and just say, only what I can prove through scientific analysis and evidence and is what's real and what is factual. But you know, there's just some things that you can't account for and you can't ignore. They can't be proven, but they can't be disproven. And so this is where sometimes it lies with the supernatural or paranormal. And we have to be open-minded towards that. We can certainly be skeptical as well. And if there's a rational explanation, so be it. In your case, it doesn't sound like there's any other explanation than simply what you're describing and the way you're describing it. And that's the only way we can take it. Does sound to me like it was some kind of an abduction simply because of the way it happened and the way you sort of lost consciousness, and yet you had this strange experience of losing your identity and then coming back into physical reality and everything, and you know, absent, being asleep, and alcohol involved, drugs involved, and all these other things that we'd eliminate as possibilities for this occurring.
Although I guess from a scientific standpoint, you could postulate that both you and your husband somehow were experiencing some abnormal phenomena, be it, it's very unlikely that both of you had some sort of epileptic phenomena.
Unlikely.
And you haven't got a diagnosis of epilepsy, right?
Some type of geological phenomena, like specific to the area that we were going through, you mean?
Excuse me?
Well, some type of geological phenomenon, are you saying? Like, because like you say, it's unlikely that we're both going to have a medical thing.
Yeah, no medical. I'm just saying
that
you don't,
some type of
neither
energy.
Of you suffer from epilepsy?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, you could postulate that there was some
no
change in the...
At all.
Right.
You could postulate that there was some radiation or some magnetic change around you.
Yeah, you could collect all those theories, but they really don't hold up very well.
Well, I wonder whether the two of you are open to the possibility of regression.
Well,
I'm not here at the show right now.
I'm not really into finding out because, like I said earlier, I think the universe unfurls perfectly. And maybe I'm not ready to find out yet. I know that I will find out more in the future, but I don't believe in pushing it. I don't think.
Yeah, he's saying he doesn't need to validate it. There's no need to prove it to himself. You know, it's just let it be.
No, yeah, it's interesting for many abductees where the memory isn't really accessible.
Right.
You can go under a memory regression where in a very relaxed hypnotic state, and it's very important for the person that does the regression and the hypnosis that there be no suggestibility, but that you're put into this very relaxed hypnotic state where the hypnotist will say, you will now remember what happened to you. And that's certainly one way in which many abductees can obtain information about exactly what happened.
Yeah, I guess some people choose to do that. Mark's saying that he thinks that it's best just to let things unfold naturally and come to you as they come. Yeah,
that's important to respect people's views around that.
I would be interested in something like that. I've thought about it, and I agree with Mark. The universe is perfect and unfolding, but it also brings you what you've been asking for and what you desire and you want. And I have been for the last 11 years wanting to know what happened. And so I don't know, I contacted you finally, just, you know, I didn't put a lot of thought into it, and I just feel like I was brought here for a reason. I'm not sure if that reason is to go through the regression and the memory and or like right. Mark, if the universe will unfold in a different way, but I'm certainly open to knowing what happened. I would love to know what right. happened.
Well, maybe now, that's something that we, you know, could help you with. I know that
one of these days
we both, David and I, do hypnosis, and David is a certified
clinical hypnotherapist.
Yeah, so that's
one way to do it. Yeah, and you know, in your cases, it's based on your you know, your personal testimony, and so that's what you're with. That's what we have to work with, and that's perfect, because it's a great story with a corroborating witness, as I said. And I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's your personal experience and your story for both of you each individually. And mm-hmm. Each person has to decide how they want to share it and go through it. And I think it was great that you contacted me about it, because we had no plans to do this story and this show. And I'm not particularly, I don't know a lot about aliens. I haven't delved into it that much in my life. I'm more interested in the spirit realms and metaphysics. So for me, I thought this might be a very tough topic to tackle. But when you approached me with it, I said, okay, why not? Let's just go with it. And I think it's a great story.
And it's particularly compelling and interesting when there is more than one person, yeah. as in your cases. And we have certainly read other stories where there have been more than a few people involved. There was in Australia, there was an experience by a whole family in 1988, which involved three individuals who noticed a mysterious light emerging in the distance, and then they actually felt that their car was yanked into the air before being plunged to the ground. And one of the members felt that their brain was being sucked out. And it's interesting that this occurred to all three family members. There was another incident involving a school where...
That was Westall, wasn't it?
That's right.
That was 200 people witnessed these UFOs, quite a few of them.
There's children as well as adults. Mm. They witnessed a number of sources hovering above the trees that appeared and disappeared. You know, when you look at... When there are 200 individuals involved, you just cannot dispute these facts.
That's tough. Right. Yeah. And I think the skeptics said that it was a weather balloon or something similar. I mean, you know,
always weather balloons involved.
Right.
Or some kind of government experiment, which is probably also unlikely, I would say.
I did have the experience 10 years prior to that, so 20 years ago, where I had went to tuck my children into bed. They were already sleeping. I was getting ready to go to bed, so I went to make sure they were tucked in and kiss them goodnight. And there's a window by their bed, and I noticed a star, a very bright star, and it was pulsing, red, white, green. And I'd seen the star many times afterwards, and not even sure if it is a star. But what happened is the pulsing all of a sudden became large. As it pulsed, it stayed large, and it was in a shape of a spiral, an olive green. It was only a light. It was a very soft and fading into nothing. There was no firm edges that showed the end of the light. And
wow.
I've never hallucinated in my life, and I kind of closed my eyes, and I opened them, and I looked again, and now this light was taking up over half the sky. It was huge. It was, I knew, coming closer. And so this time I looked away, and I literally rubbed my eyes, as I told you, Dave. I was in shock, and I looked back, and now it was at the whole window. It's all I could see was the green light. And I immediately looked away, and I said out loud, no, I'm not ready. And as Alexa said, I wondered if I was taken at that time or what happened. I never again, like, I don't know, like, I could have been taken at that time too, or maybe like Alexis
right.
said. maybe they just went away. I have no memory of coming back. I just looked back and it was gone. So I mean, that's also unexplainable. It was a moment where I was alone. So, you know, it's only my memory, but.
And in some ways that does tend to think that you were a bit targeted or selected in a way, because it's happened to you twice, that there is some interest in you over people who have had just maybe one experience or a lighter experience.
And it's interesting to, you know, to wonder why some people are targeted and other people aren't. You know, as you might have, you know,
some qualities,
you might have better
genes.
DNA.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, I recently had my DNA tested, and there's nothing, nothing that interesting.
no alien DNA in there.
I didn't get any red flashing lights.
But I mean, there is a theory that what they're doing is they're trying to, you know, combine their DNA with our DNA to produce a hybrid that potentially is more intelligent and more empathic than humans, but has still got human qualities. And some state that the Greys are fascinated by humans. There is also, you know, theory that the Greys might be humans in the far future.
All right, we had a friend that told us that. There's a theory. There's all kinds of theories. Anyhow, theories are just theories, but. Yes.
But, you know, what is really interesting about these experiences is that, I mean, for some people, they are quite traumatized. Mm. For other people, they are somehow enhanced. And there's a certain human, I think, humility that comes into play, because, unfortunately, us humans, we do tend to be very self-centric. We feel that the world revolves around us. Mm. Look at the damage we've done.
We're the superior species.
Yeah, we think that we're so intelligent. And so I have, certainly from your story, Yvonne and Mark, and from other people that I've talked to and read about, there's a certain humility that comes in, understanding that we're not the only intelligent species on Earth. In fact, that we perhaps are quite lacking in intelligence and empathy compared to others. We're not here alone, and that can be actually strangely comforting. Don't you think that we're not the only intelligent species out there, and that perhaps you know,
I'm okay with it. I mean, I don't need to be the most intelligent. I'm not even close, but I think it's great to know that. But I mean, the reports were overwhelming. I remember we were at the Monroe Institute once, and there was a man from NASA, and I couldn't help myself. And I remember asking him, and I knew I probably shouldn't ask, but I said, "Have you ever seen a UFO?" And he was a director. He'd been in operations, a director, really nice man. I mean, he was there for his own reasons, you know. But I approached him and asked the question. He said, "No, I've never seen a UFO." And I'm thinking to myself, okay, a UFO is an unidentified flying object. And if you were a director or a manager at NASA, you must have at one time or another came across an unidentified flying object. I didn't ask him if he'd ever seen a spacecraft or an alien, you know. But fair enough, he just didn't, you know, want to talk about it. And I think that's maybe I was being invasive at that point. So,
you know. Must have seen the disclosure project.
Mark, yes, I was just going to bring that up.
What is an unidentified flying object? After all, it's anything that you can't identify. So that happens all the time, right?
We all see things that we can't identify. You have seen Stephen Greer and the Disclosure Project?
Oh, yeah, we know about Stephen Greer. I think we tried to get him on the show at one point. I haven't really studied his stuff closely, though. I know about it, though. I'd like to maybe get him on the show at some point.
It was really interesting because he had a lot of high up military and NASA people. And there was one guy that was basically in charge of the silos, like he was controlling the silos that launched the nuclear weapons or whatever. And this something came on the radar, and he lost all control of the silo, like the power, it just shut down basically. And he said that he had an intense feeling that the aliens were trying to protect us from doing irreparable damage kind of thing. So it was kind of neat to hear a lot of like high up military people saying that.
Right. Yeah, I remember his I think I watched one of his videos. His stuff is really high level. I really was impressed with a lot of what I heard.
I believe he runs SETI, doesn't he? The Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Right. We're just looking him up now, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe he does that.
Yeah.
And it was in the Disclosure Project where they said that they were not allowed to report if they saw an unidentified flying object.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That actually adds credibility to the fact that there are aliens out there, the fact that, you know, government officials seem to be going to such
great lengths
to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
We think that, you know, people have a right to know. It's really important for our worldview.
And I got to tell you, as an investigator, you'd be surprised at the lengths they'll go to cover it up. Sometimes they'll create research projects to show that they don't know whether or not aliens exist. And they'll spend millions of dollars to try to pretend that they're trying to substantiate the existence of them to cover up the fact that they already know. I mean, this is what a real spy will do. They won't just hide something. They'll create decoys and create wild goose chases and disinformation all over the place to basically cover up whatever act they're actually doing by creating all kinds of other problems everywhere else to keep people from the real.
People have a right to know.
I feel great you might comfort say they're actually in knowing. You know, from mine and Mark's experience, I feel great comfort in knowing that something greater than us is out there. And I feel great comfort in knowing that the government wants to hide it from us, because that gives me hope, because I know the government doesn't always have our best interest in mind. So I feel like there's, you know, I might be wrong, I might be right, but I feel like there's some kind of balance that is protecting us, and that maybe it is part of us, or just another entity that is so, like, we can speculate till the cows come home. But, you know, for me, I feel comfort in knowing that something greater than us or something more than us is out there.
I think that's the bottom line for me, is that we know that there's a lot more out there that we don't know about, and that that can create fear or great hope, depending on how you perceive it when you're going through it.
Yeah.
But we're at the end of our show. So we just thank you so much, Yvonne and Mark, for coming on our show and sharing your story. That was spectacular.
Thank you. That was fascinating and really interesting to hear some real firsthand encounters. So thank you for coming on our show.
We really appreciate it.
Yes, it was great.
We hope our listeners have enjoyed this. Certainly raises more questions. And, you know, we look forward to continuing to explore the unexplorable.
The outer limits. This is the detective.
And this is your doctor.
We'll see you next time on Hungry for the Truth. Bye for now.